Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is now Monday, the 11th of August, 2025. How are things out there with you? I was off for a week there, so my thanks to Annie Geary and the lads here for keeping the lights on. We're getting a last blast of the summer this week, no doubt about it. So pull up a chair and we'll have the crack about the weather or whatever else is on your mind. The WhatsApp is open now, 087-032-3232, and the email as well. That's oliver@rte.ie. Ah, yes, indeed. Now, in 2 weeks' time from this day, the schools will be back. The summer will feel truly over, so we must enjoy these last 14 days of semi-sleepy existence with the traffic really, really low and the feeling of slovenly calm all around the place. Although the late nights are darkening a little bit, ever so slightly. I believe the daylight gets shorter by about 4 minutes each day. So currently the sun is setting in Dublin, but 9 in the evening, so by the end of August it's going to be 8:15, so you have to keep a firm hold of summer, keep it in mind and enjoy every little bit of it. We have a great show for you this morning. We're going to meet the Irish dance researcher, academic, former river dancer and champion dancer, Dr. Róisín Cathalán, and we're going to go deep into the Drinka because she's been looking at the injuries and physical strain of the sport in competition. And it's quite unique to Irish dancing, and also some of the problems in the wider conversation about it. That's mostly to do with a shortage of boys and men taking part and staying with the dancing into their teenage years and beyond, and often they're bullied out of it because of the stereotyping that Irish dancing just isn't manly enough. Put someone through the training and you can ask them that afterwards. So we're going to look at the gender tradition and the future of Irish dance as well, because some of it's appearing in pop culture all the time in the most curious of places. Dr. Róisín Cathalán will be chatting to us from Limerick later on. But for all of us here watching, the Camogie final was the thing that finally delivered the drama that we needed in the inter-county championships. We had a couple of dud finals there in hurling and football, and the women of Cork and Galway delivered. Gordon Manning in this morning's Irish Times. It was an All-Ireland Camogie final for the ages, a game played with real bite and aggression. There was a red card, a missed penalty, a levelling goal in the final minute and a match-winning free in injury time. Phew! Yeah, much of the match was like a long physical altercation, and Cork's three in a row ambitions wrecked with that incredible free by the captain, Carrie Dolan, in the second minute of injury time. She was on earlier this morning chatting to Marty Morrissey, sounding very hoarse, as she would be after a 7 minute speech. She had to win the match, then deliver the speech, and chatting to people in the victory is just, it's only five All-Irelands Galway have won, so just absolutely extraordinary stuff, just a wow moment for her. And then the fireworks continued, because in the press conference afterwards, the Rebels manager, Ger Manley, was very critical of decisions made by the referee, including that winning free and the sending off of Hannah Looney. He mustn't have watched the replay of poor old Hannah, because her reaction to being pushed in the back just at the end of the first half, she lashed out at Carrie Dolan, who seems to be involved in every major talking point in that match. And it's just a moment of madness going to play in her head for ages and ages, in a one-point match especially. Just the cruelty of that. Very hard on her. It's an amateur sport in front of everybody, the big TV audience as well, especially as it is a second final involving a slither that Cork has left without a win. And it almost, on days like this, wipes out the fact that they won two in a row, just 23 in 2024. And sadly, a lot of the chat around the game is that disappointing attendance of 28,795. It's a stadium that holds 82,000, but they would have been hoping for closer to the 40,000 mark, especially after the year when Camogie was a massive talking point across the country. It made international headlines over Scorts. They were expecting to break the record, which was set in 2007, of 33,000. And it would seem on paper like the sport hasn't progressed, but Camogie has boomed in terms of participation in recent years. And those at the match certainly were rewarded with a party atmosphere in the build-up to the match. Pink Pony Club blasted out of the big monitors, speakers as you call them, in Croke Park and the Tannoy, and there was a huge family atmosphere. And there's actually lovely colour this morning from Laura Linnett in this morning's independent.ie about all the different people. Jerry Kitt, originally from Mount Bellew in Galway, travelling to the game with his son Cormac, who's a 12-year-old GA player born in New York, would you believe. Cork woman Gillian O'Brien from Carrigaline
talking about how proud she was to attend the final with her grandchildren and to support Cork. But of course, all eyes are on the Tribes people this morning because 114, by the way, was the finish line. 114 to 113, as close as that. Carmel Finn is from a place called Capitagal Warehouse, East Galway, where they play non-stop hurling and camogie from dawn to dusk. She was up for the match yesterday with loads of people. She's on the line this morning. Good morning, Carmel Finn.
Good morning, Oliver. How are you?
You're in good form, I'd say.
Absolutely. The sun is shining in the west.
And thank God it was a brilliant final. It's good to win a big close final like that.
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. There's only one word. I was just kind of thinking, what way could I actually describe it? And yeah, the only way I could describe it was electric, Oliver. It was absolutely buzzing. It was a great day, a great occasion. And congratulations to the girls, the players, the panel, Carl, the backroom team, and the clubs, you know, and their families, yes, the amount of dedication and commitment, you know, to come back again this year. And, you know, it's a sweet win. I don't think Cork will begrudge us now, to be honest. You know, they're phenomenal champions as well. It's Galway's year this year, Oliver. Definitely.
No question. Come here. You went in a very busy car yesterday morning.
We had a full Jeep load. I went with my sister Regina and her husband Martin Fahey, who's from the club of St. Thomas's.
Big Galway name.
Regina's from Capitagal. Big Galway name, absolutely. We have to get that in because we had Ella, who is 10. That's Regina and Martin's daughter. Maisie, who's just about to turn 7. Her birthday is coming up, Oliver. So happy birthday to Maisie. Great day yesterday for Maisie.
Happy birthday, yeah.
She plays for Thomas's. And our lucky little mascot, Joey, he's coming 4. And then we had our other little girl who's probably on the line there, Evie Daly, who is from Shkahana Menla, and she is 8, and she's a dual player. She plays both camogie and, I suppose, what you'd call up there, the Gaa, the football.
Oh my God, that was a mad car.
So it was a brilliant day.
And Carmel, did you bring sandwiches? What was your ritual for the day?
We actually had a lovely meal. I think it's a rite of pilgrimage for Martin and Regina. Yeah. We got Castleknock Hotel, so great atmosphere.
Oh, that's where you go.
It's just en route, so I suppose, and Supermax on the way down, Oliver. We have to give a shout out. I suppose Supermax is always a traditional stop, but there was ice cream had late at night last night, I believe, on the way home.
Because it was a late one, wasn't it? It was a quarter past five,
you know. And but look, the journey was great down home.
Which Supermax now did you choose to stop in on the way home?
Oh gosh, I don't know. Can we say this online? Lockray is only in the road.
We were nearly home.
We were nearly home. We didn't feel hungry. We just wanted to get home and get back down over the Shannon. Yeah, we were grand.
And everybody got ice cream. Brilliant.
Everybody got ice cream. It's a rite of passage, I think, as well, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Evie, as you tell us, this is your niece, Evie.
This is Evie. Hi, Evie.
Evie, yeah, good morning to you. Are you on the phone?
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi.
Tell us, Evie, how did your day go yesterday?
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was loud. It was big and it was great fun.
Great fun and very loud, I would say. And you probably making the most noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're mad. Mad about camogie, aren't you?
Yeah, very much.
Why do you love camogie? Why do you love playing it yourself?
I don't know, because I score points.
Oh, yeah.
I'm able to score a goal.
You could do anything.
And play with my friends.
And play with your friends is the most important thing, yes. But obviously scoring came before playing with your friends. And what's your club called?
Skahana Camogie Club in Galway.
Excellent. And you play Gaelic as well? You play football?
Yes.
You love that. But is camogie more your favourite than football?
Yeah.
It is. Camogie is the main thing. Are you going to win an All-Ireland someday?
Yeah, of course.
Of course, naturally. For Galway as well. Your heroes on the team, you obviously have many favourites, I presume, of the players.
Yeah, Aoife Donoghue, Kerry Dolan and Olwyn Rabbit.
Olwyn Rabbit, another brilliant Galway name. But Kerry Dolan is the captain and she gave a great speech.
Yep,
Why is it so brilliant now that they've won the All-Ireland? What's great about it if you were explaining to somebody?
Because they could bring the old Duffy Cup back to Galway.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, some people could go to the homecoming tonight.
Yes. Excitement and noise.
The excitement and noise.
You'll be there tonight, will you, at the homecoming?
Yeah.
Definitely going to that. And your Auntie Carmel was telling us on the way home yesterday, you got into Supermax. The drive home must have been fun, wasn't it, with all the cars all around you?
Yeah, they were beeping.
Oh, were they? Did you get to bed very, very late? The latest ever, I would say.
Yeah.
Because it's a special day.
At 10 o'clock.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning, because you're up early considering you were in bed so late. And Carmel, you're still there. Loads of fun in the car on the way home.
Oh, it was just great atmosphere. Yeah. It's just amazing. Do you know what I mean? It's all about making memories. You know, it's all about making memories.
It is.
You know, kids there of all ages, you know, boys and girls flying flags with their banners and, you know, screeching their little lungs out and just getting excited and... No, it's just a pure spectacle, you know.
And again tonight,
and that's, you know what I mean. As Evie said, it's all about, it's a real feel good factor, you know. And I suppose it's we're just very lucky. We have, you know, we have a county team. The Camogie is so strong in it, under 16, under 23, and now senior as well. As Carrie said, on their great, an amazing acceptance speech. Absolutely, how she did it, I don't know. Phenomenal player as well. Congrats to Aoife Donoghue as well. Well deserved player of the match. You know, but it's club. You know, you could see. You could see yesterday, you know, kids that are being brought up, you know, by buses with clubs, you know, delegates and my own, you know, brothers and my sister here, Regina, and her husband, very involved and, you know, an underage and great, just great atmosphere. And I have to give a shout out to my own club, Capitagal. We had a great journey and great memories made with them last year. We reached the county senior final and I have three other nephews I have to mention, Oran, Oisin and Ross, and they're ingrained in the senior team in Capitagal.
Very
so
good.
Best luck to them this year, and hopefully, you know, we'll be on a good journey with them and we'll get it over the line this year. And I have to get that in.
And loads of Camogie left. That's why we have these finals early now in the season, because there's plenty of Camogie to be played in all the clubs.
Yeah, the championship will be starting. Yeah, absolutely. And the best of luck to our... We have a great Camogie team between a lot of underage development going on in Camogie and Capitagal, and St. Thomas is here as well, I have to... I'm not going to be part of the now. I'm going to be very...
that's very good.
You're very involved. Non-biased. Yeah.
There's a lot of talk about the attendance this morning, Carmel, which is a pity because the participation in Camogie has exploded in recent years, hasn't it? You're giving us the sense of it.
Yeah, it has, you know, and... You know, I think it's like, as I said earlier there, like the level of skill that was displayed yesterday in Croke Park is second to none. It's you know what I mean? It's you highlighted it there, you know, so well in your introduction. It was just pure dogged, pure determination, pure passion, you know, and, you know, to get caught up in that, it's probably one of the best sports, you know, both hurling and football and Camogie that you could ever, say, participate in and even support. But, you know, I think there just needs to be more, you know, development, you know, resources and finance into it and, you know, build the clubs and give them a chance, you know what I mean, to bring these underage players through and, like, look what we can achieve, you know what I mean? As I said, Galway were just a very fortunate county that we have players that are that calibre, but, like, you had teams like Kerry as well there yesterday, you know
That's
what I mean,
right,
that wouldn't
probably
be normally a Camogie, you know, stalwart, you know,
that
they're phenomenal
the
footballers.
Final.
So, yeah, exactly, you know, and... So, like, you know, I think onwards, you know, just kind of put the money into it and give the players a chance. And
the merging, you know, is happening.
And media attention as well, Oliver, you know.
The media attention, 100%, yeah.
Media attention, absolutely. And just kind of, I suppose, gather momentum and just keep going forward.
Okay. Well, we're here for it. Carmel, enjoy today and the atmosphere and the lovely weather that you're going to have as well this evening.
Absolutely.
And Evie, thank you so much as well for chatting to us. I don't know if she's still there.
Okay.
Thanks, Evie. You were brilliant.
Thank you. Bye.
And enjoy your summer. Bye bye to you both.
Okay.
And Gaelia Vibeau. We won't just leave it.
Gaelia Vibeau, 100%.
We were talking there about Carrie Dolan, the Galway team captain, of course. She is from Clarenbridge, as I heard her describe it this morning on the radio. And Sive Connolly plays with that very club in Galway. Good morning to you, Sive.
Good morning, Oliver.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling excited, happy, and I'm so proud for the Galway girls.
Oh, brilliant. Were you there? Were you there yesterday?
I was there, and it was so exciting, the match as well.
It was a brilliant match. I mean, what a way to win a final. It's dream stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who did you go to the match with, Sive?
I went with my whole family. My mom, my dad, and my brother.
And what's his name?
Irla.
Irla. All have lovely names. Yeah. Your mum and dad had nice names as well. Irla and Sive. The Connolly parents. Have they got nice names as well, Sive? You don't want to say?
Yeah. My mum's name is Caroline and my dad's name is Cahill.
Oh, lovely. Yes. Excellent. And you're a player as well with Clarenbridge.
I am.
So what age group are you playing with at the minute?
I'm playing with under 10s.
Under 10s? You sound much older. No, you're a very clever, smart person as well as being able to play camogie. Are you good at playing camogie?
I'm okay.
You don't like to brag. Do you play everywhere in the field, I presume?
Yeah, I do.
You like it?
Yeah, I like it. My favourite spot is forwards.
In forwards, of course, then you get to score. It's a difficult sport though, isn't it? The skill.
It's very difficult. But yeah, when you get the hang of it, it's very fun.
That's the key to it. And you'll have loads more camogie to play, I would say, for the rest of the summer.
I do.
You'll be starting again next week?
Yeah, on Wednesday.
Okay, brilliant. And are you going to go to the homecoming? Will you have time this evening?
Yeah, we were supposed to go camping, but because of the homecoming, we're not.
That's been put off a little bit. That's how important this is, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you remember the last time Galway won the All-Ireland? It was 4 years ago. You were very small.
I do not remember.
But you'll remember this one forever.
I will.
Ah, that's
the
great.
The sun shining and everybody standing up. My mom screaming, me screaming.
And it was very exciting. Did you think Galway was going to win at the end?
At the last 7 minutes, I was very frightened once Cork got that goal. But I still had faith in them.
You believed. You believed because you're a true Galway supporter.
I am.
We'll have a lovely time this evening with Mum, Dad and little Irla, your brother Irla as well. And thanks a million for chatting to us. And enjoy your camogie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sive Connolly. That's Sive Connolly there in Claren. She's plays for Clarenbridge. She sent a big bus as well. But Sive went with the parents as well, Cahill and Caroline. I'd say they're a bit hoarse this morning now. Jim in Galway's on to us. He says the camogie final attendance was a little bit lower expected because the senior game was scheduled for 5:15, which is way too late, he reckons. Obviously, when it kind of comes to an end. And so on. The camogie final should not be on the same weekend as the All-Ireland Fly in Wexford. I heard a lot of people say that this weekend because I know hundreds who would have gone to watch but were involved in competition because it attracts people from all over the country and you've got all these traditional things all clashing at the same time. But it would have had a big, big TV audience, don't forget. And we must mention the build-up, which was great fun because Laois won the junior final by 9 points against Armagh. And as Carmel was telling us, Kerry was in action in the intermediate final. That was against Offaly. And the official online post from the Camogie account in Offaly said, "People of Offaly, whether in Shinrone or even Derry, Banagher, Tullamore, Clareen or Moneygall, here are your All-Ireland champions," which are the people in Uvalle, Offaly. And what caught the eye, though, was a reference to Moneygall because it's disputed territory. The village of Moneygall is in County Offaly. Yes, we know this. The club's pitch is entirely in County Tipperary. A thing of great consternation. And all the developments have gone to the Tipperary Camogie Board when they're doing things to the pitch. A number of players are from Tip, according to an article in the Nina Guardian. So they'll be claiming they've effectively won sort of an All-Ireland. But no, it's an Offaly win, lads. You can just have your men's final this year. That'll do you. That'll do you now. Loads of other stuff happening around the place as well, by the way. Traitors Ireland has just released its trailer for the Traitors Ireland. And of course, your one Siobhan McSweeney is the host. And this is very cinematic and very brooding for the hour of the day and for the summery weather. But this is what we're looking forward to at the very end of the month.
Traitors. They walk amongst us, studying our strengths, our weaknesses, building trust, and waiting. Waiting for the opportune time to strike and break that trust. Unless you catch them. before it's too late. Expect a game of deception, deceit, and death. This is the Traitors' Ireland. Ready to play? Starts Sunday, August the 31st.
That's in 3 weeks. And that's Siobhan McSweeney. And she has an amazing outfit at the end. You have to watch the whole trailer, which no doubt you'll see on telly over the next while. Filmed at the banks of the Boyne of Slane, in Slane Castle, of course. So finally we have the Irish version of this worldwide phenomenon that is The Traitors. And their mission is for the strangers arriving at the castle. They'll be unveiled in 3 weeks' time to win 50 grand. Without, of course, the murders and the banishment, which makes the show very popular among the kids. That's why it's all going to be part of the back-to-school environment when that happens. And we'll see who is lying to who and who's the best at lying in the colour. You've got so many Irish twists to it, you know. People from various counties, would they be better at lying than others? We'll find out all with Siobhan McSweeney, who has that kind of sense of menace and crack. All that folds in nicely together. 51551, by the way, is the text machine. That's also open this morning. I see there's a story about Freddie Mercury, who apparently has a daughter who quietly claims she was a daughter. That's a whole story in a book that's coming out in September. And some of the people close to Freddie Mercury are saying, no, that's not the case at all. And others are saying absolutely nothing, which kind of gets you guessing as to whether the truth or not. The other Freddie in the news is Freddo. And the Freddo, the chocolate bar, is about the daughter of the man who said he invented the Freddo chocolate bar. He worked for an Australian company when he was just 14 years of age in 1930. His name was Harry Melbourne, and he invented Freddo. He was a kid, as they did in those days, working away, and there were lots of chocolate mice for sale. And he said, children are scared of mice. So I thought, kids go down to the lake to catch tadpoles. We love frogs. Why not have a bar with the frog? And so Freddo is that little green frog that you see on the Cadbury's bar. It's got the purple thing. But his daughter, who's now 74 years of age, says since the death of her father, she's not bought one of the frog-shaped confectioneries because he said he would be disgusted at how much it now costs. And he was disgusted as the years went by at how much they were charging and how much smaller they went. The bar wasn't sold over in this part of the world until the 70s, but it only lasted a year. And they brought it back in 1994, Cadbury. And the chocolate bar cost 10p here and in England. The confectionery is now sold in England for 30p or 35p and has been advertised for as much as a pound sterling. She said he would be disgusted about this. And basically, we rang around this morning, shops across the country, to find out about Freddo. In Cork, you're looking at 65 cents for the regular Freddo. It's 60 for the caramel because it contains less chocolate, and chocolate has gone through the roof the last year in particular. In Meath, you're looking at the highest cost of a Freddo bar we could find in the country, 80 cent, believe it or not. Roscommon is the cheapest place for a Freddo, 60 cent there. In Donegal, it's 65. And if you go to Wexford, might be something to do with the fla, is it? 75 cent for your Cadbury's Freddo in that part of the world. This makes me really want a Freddo, by the way, altogether. All the texts are in the Camogie, by the way, this morning. I congratulate the runners-up, the Cork Camogie team, as well as the All-Ireland champions, says Elizabeth, because, of course, Cork delivered such entertainment and crack to it. And another one about the All-Ireland fla, and it shouldn't be happening. But I tell you, people were roaring and screaming at the match because of this song that lit up Croke Park just before the throw-in at a 5:15. Good morning, it's Monday. It's the Pink Pony Club. You know that song off by heart. That is the anthem for the young girls of Ireland of 2024. It was the summer of 2024 hit. And I think the summer of 2025 as well. It just keeps going. And Anne is in touch with us to praise Evie Daly, our first little guest, and our correspondent, Sive Connolly from Clarenbridge GA Club. Well, yes, a GA Club and Camogie Club. They're all merging in a year or two. So actually, Chaperone is playing in the Electric Picnic, isn't she, in the next couple of weeks as well? I believe she's part of that in 2 or 3 weeks' time. In Love, Freddie, by the way, is the name of that book that's coming out in September by Leslie Ann Jones, who's a journalist who's spoken to this woman who's only known as B in the story. She's the 48-year-old who says that she is the child that came about after Freddie Mercury had a fling with a close friend's wife in 1976, and says she has 17 journals that cover the final years of his life that he gave to her, and they had a very close and loving relationship for the final 15 years of his life. So it has set tongues wagging across the world in terms of Freddie Mercury and his inner circle and the curious things they're saying. Mary Austin, who's inherited most of Freddie Mercury's estate and was the closest friend of his, said she doubted whether he could have kept a daughter secret, and that has upset this woman known as B, who we only know lives somewhere in Europe and is a medical professional. So we'll be watching out for that very gossipy book, and also wondering why she would choose now to do the book and all of that. But listen, we're